You're listening to a podcast of Reality Check, hosted by Charles Ellison, Monday through Thursday, 4 p.m. till 7 p.m., right here on Word Radio, 96.1 FM and 900 AM WURD.
Maya Von Rusum. Maya has been on with us before. We're actually starting our Eco Word segment where we cover environmental issues. This time, every week, go to ecoword.com for more of that conversation, as well as some new content that's there. Talking about Dr. Potter. Dr. Potter is an Eco Word contributor, and her latest piece is on ecoword.com, where she talks about Philadelphia's recycling crisis and how the city is managing and handling that. But anyway, Maya Von Rusum, Delaware River Keepers Network, head of the Delaware River Keepers Network. We've had her on before, and she's also been talking a lot about and pushing a green amendment in state constitutions. There's already a green amendment in Pennsylvania, but I want to talk about Maya real quick first about the whole concept of green amendments in every state. I know that's something, that's a movement that she's been working on, and she's still talking about with urgency, especially as we approach Earth Day on April 22nd. Maya, how are you doing? Good to have you back on.
I'm good. Thanks so much for having me back.
All right. Excellent. Excellent. So, yeah, talk about the we've talked about the Green Amendment before. And in fact, the first time we've had you on this program, we talked about just the Green Amendment movement and about how there is a Green Amendment that is already in the state constitution and the Commonwealth Constitution. So, and you've talked about this, you've laid this out in your book, The Green Amendment, Securing Our Right to a Healthy Environment. What is the Green Amendment first? Let's just refresh on that a little bit. And how could it be applied to all states?
Yeah, it's such an important concept, so I'm really glad that you're bringing it up. But it is something that can be hard to hold in people's minds. It's a simple idea, but it's actually pretty complex. So what a Green Amendment is and what it does is it's a provision that's in the Bill of Rights section of a constitution that recognizes the inalienable right to pure water, clean air, and a healthy environment. And because it's in the Bill of Rights section, recognizing these inalienable rights to a healthy environment, it gives the same legal standing and protection to environmental rights that we give to other human rights, civil rights, political rights we hold dear, like the right to free speech, the right to freedom of religion, due process rights, private property rights. Right now, all of those other fundamental rights that we've learned about our entire lives has the highest level of constitutional protection and recognition you can get. And yet, our right to clean water, clean air, and a healthy environment, these basic necessities of life, are not mentioned in most constitutions across the nation. Pennsylvania, because of the work of the Delaware Riverkeeper Network within the last 5 years, has secured a legally invigorated constitutional right to a healthy environment, Green Amendment, and Montana has one. That's it. Nobody else has a Green Amendment. So the Green Amendment for the Generations movement is about taking this message on the road and trying to get Green Amendments added to every single state constitution across the nation, giving that highest level of recognition and protection to our right to a healthy environment, and then ultimately, to secure one at the federal level. But we begin with the state.
And that would seem like sort of an obvious thing, right? Because this is about the spaces we live in. I mean, the spaces that we have to live in. That's our habitation, and so you would our environment, the environment around us. So that would seem like a pretty obvious thing, but apparently it's not. I mean, what was sort of the mindset or the mentality that missed that? You know, when states were putting together their constitutions, and not just states, when these United States, when the founders were putting together that constitution, obviously they were living off the land. So why not insert provisions in there to protect that land, to preserve that land?
So when you look at history, right, like the forefathers of the nation, as they refer to them, many of them believed in the environment and environmental protection and talked about it and held it near and dear to their hearts. And I can only guess that they couldn't imagine a day when you couldn't really access clean water and breathe fresh air, right, and eat healthy food that was free of dangerous contaminants that could literally make you sick and kill you. So I think over time, right, as we've come into the modern age, I think the reason why fundamental rights have been added to our state and federal constitutions, but the right to clean water, clean air, and a healthy environment has not, is because people really just aren't thinking about it in the forefront of their minds. We all assume and believe in our hearts that we have a right to these things, to drink clean water and breathe healthy air. And I think it doesn't even occur to people that this is not actually a legally recognized and protected right. And as a result, the way our state and federal laws are written, they are written to very literally to degrees large and small, accept and protect the right of businesses and corporations and others to pollute our water and our air, right? So I think it's just people aren't thinking about it because they just assume that that's the way things should be. And in reality, it's not that way under the law.
Mm. So how would this work, Maya? How would this Green Amendment work? What does your movement right now entail? As you know, so you had that success in a big state, a battleground state, a national battleground state, by the way, with a lot of electoral college votes like Pennsylvania. We should mention that because that's important. That's important that we have that in the state constitution. So what's the model for getting this movement charged for other states, and sort of what sort of progress are you seeing right now?
Yeah, so the Pennsylvania Green Amendment was actually added to the Constitution in 1971 when a very smart legislator realized that the environment was allowed to become so degraded here in Pennsylvania that it was fundamentally harming people's lives at every level, and that was being allowed to happen because we didn't have this constitutional protection. So he proposed, and overwhelmingly, the legislators and the people of Pennsylvania voted to add Pennsylvania's Green Amendment to its constitution. But very, very quickly, the court misinterpreted, to be kind, Pennsylvania's Green Amendment and robbed it of all its legal strength. Fast forward to 2012, when a very pro-fracking piece of legislation was passed, a law that gave the fracking industry the power of eminent domain and waived basic environmental protections, gave them the right to build fracking industrial operations in the heart of our residential communities. And we at the Delaware Riverkeeper Network could see that as devastating as fracking was to so many Pennsylvania communities already, it was about to get a whole lot worse. And so we actually realized that we might be in a moment in time when the industry and their, you know, bought off legislators, for lack of a better word, had so overreached that maybe we could flip the switch on this Green Amendment. And we actually used it in a legal challenge against this pro-fracking law. The case went all the way up to the Pennsylvania Supreme Court. And in December of 2013, the Supreme Court actually declared unconstitutional many of the provisions that we were challenging in Act 13 because they violated the environmental rights of the people of Pennsylvania. And so in that moment, not only did we defeat these devastating elements of the law, but we very literally breathed legal life back into Pennsylvania's Green Amendment. And ever since that time, we have been using this Green Amendment in ways large and small to advance better environmental protections in Pennsylvania. And slowly over time, we are building up the body of law that is strengthening our right to a healthy environment. After we had this success, right, I realized that there was a message in this victory, not just for the people of Pennsylvania, but for all communities in every state. And I started to look at state constitutions across the nation and found that only Montana had a similar type of provision. And so I wrote the book, The Green Amendment, to tell the story of what was happening in Pennsylvania and to our environment, and then got on the road with talks across the nation, and have started a new organization called Green Amendments for the Generations. And I'm trying to inspire people by the success we've had at the Delaware Riverkeeper Network using Pennsylvania's Green Amendment, try to inspire them to work with the new Green Amendment for the Generations initiative to advance the call for Green Amendments in their state. And it's taking a lot of hard work and a lot of time, but people are really excited about the proactive, positive power of this message. And at this point, we've secured proposals. They haven't been passed, but we have proposals already in New York, New Jersey, Maryland, and West Virginia, and have interest in other states across the nation. So we're getting there. Just going to take time.
You know, and kind of transitioning on topics here, Maya, I know that there's some concern, you know, particularly once again ahead of Earth Day is on April 22nd. That's this coming Monday. But there's some concern about some executive orders that have just been issued by the by President Trump. These executive orders essentially circumventing state laws to fast track the building of oil and natural gas pipelines throughout states. So, you know, what I find weird about that is that conservatives, Republicans regularly talk about states' rights. You know, they push back on the rights of others, in fact, whether it's, you know, you're talking about voting rights or health care or civil rights. Well, we have to consider states' rights. But this executive and they badgered Obama to President Obama to death for 8 years regarding federal overreach. This is a real egregious form of federal overreach because, you know, the states are sort of a last line of defense in terms of regulating these new pipeline networks and making sure that they don't have a very negative effect on the environment. But these executive orders are talking about bypassing or circumventing that. Talk a little bit about that and why that's a big concern.
Yeah, you are absolutely right. And you just hit on so many important points. When it comes to natural gas, really, they're fracked gas pipelines coming out of places like central Pennsylvania, where we're fracking for gas from shale, and in other states, the pipelines that carry that gas from where it's extracted from the earth across the state and then across state lines into other states in order to deliver it, often to export facilities that are actually taking that fracked gas to other countries, right? It's not even being brought to American communities. But those fracked gas pipelines are almost entirely, in terms of their approval and their construction, are almost entirely regulated by a federal agency called the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. And when that agency, called FERC, approves a pipeline project, that pipeline company also gets the power of eminent domain, right? So you were talking about the importance and value of states' rights. I'm going to talk about that in a second. But another element of this is property rights, because also those, you know, those conservatives are always talking about the importance of property rights, you know, and how industrial operations and developers should be able to use their property however they see fit, regardless of the harm to others. Well, here, if FERC approves the pipeline company gets the power of eminent domain and can take property rights from hundreds, if not thousands, of property owners across the length of their pipeline. The law that regulates these pipelines and gives that power to FERC also strips from states. What it does is it preempts all state laws that would apply to those pipelines except one strand. And it is a strand of legal authority the states have under the Clean Water Act to either approve or disapprove or approve with modification these pipeline projects based on their impact on waterways and water resources. Some states, like the state of New York, have denied approval to these pipelines because they would have such a devastating impact on water resources and the environment and fail to meet state water protection standards. So Donald Trump last week decided that he didn't like the fact that there were states who were using their authority to protect their environment and to protect their residents, and as you said, signed an executive order that seeks to take from states that one strand of authority they have over these fracked gas pipeline projects. So not only does this executive order signed by Donald Trump undermine states' rights, it's also undermining property rights, Both of these are core principles Republicans claim to care about and use all the time to beat communities over the head when they want to advance their projects and programs and goals. But now when it comes to fundamentally protecting people from these hazardous pipeline projects and all the harms they inflict, suddenly they're willing to throw states' rights and property rights and people's rights right out the window.
Mm-hmm. Is this also about, I mean, is this order in some respect about this border wall? Because, there's already, concerns about people's property, like down there on the U.S.-Mexico border in Texas, on the Texas side of things and elsewhere, is already under threat of eminent domain and having their property taken away by the federal government to build this border wall. So do these executive orders help with that as well?
So this particular executive order, to be honest with you, I don't know that it speaks specifically and directly to that issue, but I think that you're right. Fundamentally, this reality that we have states across the nation along the border wall and along all of these pipeline projects crisscrossing communities, we have states that are finally standing up and trying to take back the authority that they rightfully have and should have to protect their communities and to protect their environments and to protect the health and safety and welfare of present generations and future generations in their state. And I think that Donald Trump cannot stand the fact, right, that somebody else has some power to take actions and render decisions that would undermine the personal and political goals that Donald Trump has. And I think that this is just another expression of his frustration that he is not the king of the United States of America and able to do whatever he wants to whomever he wants. I mean, to me, frankly, very often on any given day, it feels like he's being treated like a king by many of our legislators, right, who are not holding him accountable. But even then, right, the reality is he isn't a king. And I think that that bugs him no end. And so this is just another way to try to strip from somebody else the power that they are using to do the right thing by Americans and by our nation and, frankly, by our world. So he's just, I think, lashing out at every turn. Here he very, very specifically lashes out at the state of New York and rises up to defend the dirty fossil fuel industry despite its devastating impact, right? And so, for him, it's all about wielding that power he has, the power of the pen and his executive orders. So I think they are all connected, even if it isn't specifically mentioned in the executive order. And frankly, you may have read further down than I did. I really focused in on the pipeline section of it. But I think it is all connected because I think for him, it's very emotional. I think he's an emotional guy who wants power.
We've been talking with Maya Von Rossum of the Delaware River Keepers Network, or head of the Delaware River Keepers Network, at Del River Keeper on Twitter. For more information there, and also check out her book about the Green Amendment. She's written pretty much, the political Bible on the Green Amendment as she sparked attempting to spark this 50-state movement to get green amendments in every state constitution. We need to talk a little bit more about that, Maya, as I'm thinking about it offline. So I definitely want to talk with you. There might be some interest there for some legislators elsewhere. So we'll talk about that. But it's always a pleasure talking with you, Maya. And definitely we'll talk to you. We'll have you back.
Thank you. And thank you for your incredible good work on, the social justice front and the environmental front. Powerful voices like yours are just irreplaceable. So thank you for all you do.
All right. I appreciate that. Thanks so much, Maya. We're trying. All right. We'll talk soon. Take care. All right. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to a podcast of Reality Check, hosted by Charles Ellison, Monday through Thursday, 4 p.m. till 7 p.m., right here on Word Radio, 96.1 FM and 900 AM WURD.